Ebenezer, I am just so blessed to be with you, connecting with you. God has been good. Can you just put in chat good, G-O-O-D, wherever you're sitting at, stand and say good. He is a wonderful, wonderful God, and he's done so many spectacular things within our lives. As we are getting together again through this virtual connection, I just want you to thank him for allowing us to have what we have, that we can connect no matter where we are. And I want to talk about that a little later, that we can connect. The Lord has been and is so, so good. I just want to thank you. Thank you for staying connected. If you're a first-time visitor, thank you for being here today. If you've been here over and over again, thank you for coming back. And I believe that you're being blessed by the word that God is giving us all as we're growing together. I also want to thank you for interacting with us. We've got our app, and so often notifications come up for a teaching that we have, one that's on Monday manna, or Tuesday noonday, or Wednesday at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke, or even for our in-person, we have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, where we're going through the book of 1 John. So those notifications come up, and they're so helpful in just reminding us. You ever been through the week and you're like, what day is this? Or you're like, this week is going too fast, or it's going too slow. That's one of the notifications. We are driven so often by our calendar events. So just want to thank you for staying connected. Also, I want to thank you for your prayers for our 8:45 in-person service and our 10:45 in-person service. And of course, our 10 o'clock online, where the Lord is just doing tremendous, tremendous things. Today, we are having our Feed the Hungry in Central Park in Greensboro downtown. If you can come on out, we'll be meeting at the church around 12:30. Those who lead that ministry, but they usually get out to the park around 1-ish or so, and you can't miss us. If you go to Central Park, right there in the midst of Greensboro, right before you get to the theater place, we're right there on the side, and we're able to bless and reach out and just touch people with the love of Jesus Christ. Kathleen Ratcliffe, if you need to get in touch with her, she is the leader of that. But we are just blessed to have Feed the Hungry ministry, and it's been going on for years at Ebenezer. The Lord has done so many wonderful things. Because of our Feed the Hungry, I want to thank you. You're like, why would you thank me for Feed the Hungry? Because it's your giving. Your giving has allowed Ebenezer to do these things, to reach out. And there's so many ways that we are giving from our church that we may not say. We're reaching out, blessing families. A lot of families have struggled, have gone through. But I just thank the Lord he's taught us to be cheerful givers and to purpose in our heart, and that we don't give grudgingly or of necessity, but we're happy. We're happy in Jesus because he is providing even in strange times. He's providing even in inflationary times. God has been so, so, so good. Also with that giving comes in different parts. And maybe God is just moving on your heart to be more active in the ministry. You know, you want to volunteer, whether it's in an in-person service, or maybe there's some other things that are within the service or connecting with the ministry that you'd like to be a part of. Man, we encourage you to go online, fill out your information. We're going to get back with you and just kind of process and get you connected. So often in our lives, we really don't grow the way we should until we give ourselves away. Yeah, we get interactive. We become a part of it. In this world, I get it. So many other things are grasping for our times, but we have to make a decision. We have to put priorities within our lives. And I just encourage you to know that God is faithful. Also, I want you to know tomorrow, Monday, we've got back to school giveaway right in the Ebenezer Sanctuary at 6 o'clock. We're going to have prayer and some giveaways. So we're going to pray with our kids. We're going to have some teachers and some kids praying. And then we've got some things that really our teachers need in schools and our kids need. I saw some parents just struggling in Walmart, just trying to figure out, and it's just a sad state because some people don't have the funds to get those things. And some teachers are struggling in their classrooms just to make it from day to day to give a quality education. So we've come up with some packs to give to the kids and to the family of parents that they can be blessed in this season and time. And most importantly, we want to cover them in prayer. Any amens? We want to cover our children in prayer. We want to cover our teachers in prayer, our principals, all those who serve our workers in the kitchen, our social workers, whatever part you take place within the school system, we salute you and we thank you so much for allowing God to use you, because I really believe that's a calling. It is a ministry. Well, I'm just thinking about where we're going. Yeah, you see my background one way, and guess it's like, okay, which way do I go? But we're going to show you. We're going to get in the Word of God, and we're going to find out which way we should go.
And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all of my sins to you, and you stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All of my guilt is gone. And that last sentence again, and he forgave me, and all of my guilt was gone. May the Lord add a blessing to the word.
I have found a love that pardons. I have found some stripes that heal. I have found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all of my sins. Said I found a love that pardons, and I found some stripes that heal. Oh, I found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all of my sins. And this in Jesus, it's all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, he's the one. He's my rock of salvation, a firm foundation. Yes, it's in Jesus. He is the one. Jesus. Savior. Healer. Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, where sinners plunge beneath the lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thou faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thine hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord God, to me.
Aren't you glad that the Lord loves us so much? I am. He has been so gracious to us, and as we are back in this topic of renewing our mind, learning really how God teaches us as we progress through the scriptures and looking at the scriptures, I pray that you have been blessed, and I just want us to grow together to be more like the Lord. I hope that you have been focusing in on our memory scripture from New King James Version, that Romans 12:2. And so wherever you are, I want you to focus in, I want you to read it with me. So I'm going to read it, and the more we read it, we're actually going to read it into our minds and read it into our hearts. So you ready? Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You did great. Can you just put in the chat, amen. As you're sitting around or standing, just say amen. It is so good to know that God has given us a prescription to grow in Him. Yeah, He has given us directions that we can walk in and renew our mind and become more like Him. Before we get into today's lesson, I just want to take a time of prayer. The world's just going through so much, and I just thank God for this opportunity that He's given us via the internet to reach out to so many, not just in North Carolina or those that are specifically members of Ebenezer, but God is allowing this broadcast to go out in so many places. And I just want to thank Him for the freedom that we do have. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for just allowing this to happen, that we can connect one with another via the internet, Father God, and whether we're in our in-person services or we find ourselves at home or on vacation or some other place, Lord, we have an opportunity to still share in the Word of God. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God. I know in many nations that certain sites have been shut down, Lord. Anything that's being used that proclaims the name of Jesus is being shut down, and people are in hiding. So I thank you that even though the United States is going through so much and there's so many struggles and we can see the spirit of the Antichrist rising, you still have given us a liberty, Lord, to proclaim who you are. So I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for those who are looking and listening in, if they don't know you, that today be their day that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Oh, that is such good news. Now, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are the true teacher, our guide, our leader. Open up the text today, Lord, that we may renew our minds, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we love you. You are amazing, God. In Jesus' name, amen. He is so, so good. From last time, we were in an awesome scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2, and that second verse. Remember that focus scripture. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And that title from last time was Write, Read, and Run. We really began to just deal with how God renews our mind and how we renew our mind in the Lord as we write and we read and we run with that which He has given us. Today we jump back into another text that actually still deals with the people that Habakkuk was dealing with, Judah and the Israelites. So let's pick up Isaiah 30 and the 21st verse. Isaiah, the 30th chapter and the 21st verse. It reads, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Listen to that again. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. I want to speak from a title that I really want you to focus in on and just get the context of it as we apply it to our lives. Hear His voice and walk in it. Hear His voice and walk in it. As we enter into today's portion of scripture, time frame is about 740 to 680 BC. This is a challenging piece or portion of text. I really haven't had the opportunity to actually share on this particular chapter in all my years of pastoring and preaching. We've gone through it in Bible studies, but really to apply it to the renewal of our minds, it brings out a lot of thought patterns, how God deals with us, how God grows us, how God shows us the way to walk in. Here we pick up Judah, the Israelites. They are still going their own way. They are stubborn. They are refusing to hear the word of the Lord, and we're going to deal with that a little later. And so much so, they have decided that God can't really leave them anymore. and they want to make an alliance with Egypt. Yeah, and that's that. They decided, we don't want the God that leads a fire by night and a cloud by day. We want to be like the other nations. We want treaties and alliances, and we want Egypt to protect us. Of course, we know the history. That is not going to be the way for Judah. And God, he cries out to them to hear his voice. And here we pick up this section of scripture as we're learning how to hear his voice and walk in it. Isaiah 38. Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever. Isaiah gets the word from the Lord. Isaiah is just kind of going backwards and forward. And even as you look at this book in totality, it's actually 66 chapters. And the first portion of it can actually be equated to like the Old Testament. And then the second part of it, like the New Testament. So we've got a lot of judgment. But now we're in this midsection that shows a lot of grace. The point I want to get out of this first scripture is God's word is forever. God's word is forever. God tells Isaiah, the word he is receiving, I don't want you just to kind of just take it haphazardly, but I need you to write it down. Now, those that were with us from last Sunday, remember that writing down is so, so important. If God speaks to us, we talked about last Sunday, we need to write it down because it's a word that comes from the Lord. Because God's word stands, and gets this, God's word stands by itself. Jesus affirms this in Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. I want to say that again. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, God's words, will by no means pass away. I'm talking about hear his voice and walk in it. God actually warns Israel for not taking his word, hearing the word, and walk in it, going the wrong way. Malachi 3:6, he says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. How often do we hear the voice of the Lord, but we choose to do it our own way? Or we choose to change what God has said. There ought to be some ouches out there. I'm telling you, there's so many times we know, we hear that definite voice of the Lord speaking in our lives, but we don't like it. We don't like the direction that he's taken us in. We don't want to sacrifice ourselves. We don't want to fast. We don't want to pray extended period of time. We don't want to read the scriptures like we should. We've heard his voice. We know that it's God, but yet there's a conflict on the inside. Here is Judah as they're dealing with just life, dealing with the fact that they have a loving God, but now they're making a choice not to follow him. 2 Timothy 4:3 brings something out very powerful. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, 2 Timothy 4:4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Do you sense that we're in that season, in that time? There's so much that's out there, that falsities, that people are choosing to believe the lie instead of the truth of God. I'm talking about hear his voice and walk in it. This is Judah at this point, just deciding, God, we don't want your truth. We don't want your word. We want to go with our own way, our own desires, our own mindset. Look at Isaiah 39. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Can I read that again? Isaiah, hearing the voice of the Lord, putting it down. He says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Here's the point. Keeping it real. Yes. Keeping it real. Saints of God, we've got to come to a point within our lives to call it like it is, to look at where we are in our progression, our walk in God, our devotion to the Lord, and call it. I think that we pretended for so long and we were thinking that we were all of that and a bag of chips. But saints of God, please, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and to take it in and to keep it real. God, that's what he does here in the word. He uses Isaiah, the speak real words to Judah so they can understand their spiritual laziness, so they can understand the struggles that they're going through. God wants Isaiah to write this down to the people of Judah so that they can see it as it's written in letters, their condition, their spiritual condition. And I believe there's some times that we got to write some stuff down. We got to look at ourselves and we got to write the truths of our life and where we're failing and go, God, we need your help. Judah here is going to see the characteristics of themselves, but yet they're going to refuse to change. Notice Isaiah 39, he writes this down. He said, they are rebellious people. They are lying children and children who will not hear. Hear his voice and walk in it. God desires them to hear, but so often we find ourselves in the same boat. Any amens out there? Refusing to hear the word of the Lord, refusing to walk in what God has said. Our world is being challenged by this. Our surrounding areas, North Carolina, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, Raleigh, are being challenged by it. We've got the 66 books. We've got a word from the Lord, but yet we refuse to do it God's way. Remember Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament, he spoke of this characteristic of the people of Israel, of Judah. And it's the same thing as we compare ourselves to this, Acts 7:51. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Hear his voice and walk in. I want you to ask yourself right now, if you just speak to yourself, ask yourself, say, self, how much am I resisting the Holy Spirit? Yeah, how much am I resisting the voice of the Lord? Sadly, saints, in all of our lives, there are portions and parts that we resist the movement of God. We desired our own way. We have our own mindset. When we don't hear his voice and walk in it, we are pleased. Just as this was told by Isaiah to Judah, the Israelites, rebellious, lying, and we refuse to hear. We got to keep it real within our lives. We got to keep it real, because when we're real and we look at ourselves, now we can cry out to God and say, God, we need to be changed. Restoring me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Are there any hallelujahs out there? We need God to come in and really show us where we're going wrong. And we have to be willing in our heart to make a change. Look at Isaiah 30:10. God is really dealing with Isaiah as he's speaking even further, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Isaiah 30:11, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Here's the point: willfully choosing the wrong path. Willfully choosing the wrong path. The issue is when God shows us, really keeping it real, shows us where we are, shows us our spiritual condition, we have a choice. We have a choice to take it to the Lord and walk in it, hear his voice and walk in it, or we have a choice to choose our own path. This is Judah at this point. They have a crossroad. They have a decision to make, but they're going to choose to go their own way. I've already given you the precursor of the historical fact, what's going on. Instead of choosing God to hear his voice and walk in it, they're going to choose to make an alliance with Egypt. They did not want to hear a true word from the prophets. You look in that scripture. They said, don't speak, don't prophesy, don't give us truth. We do not want to hear that. And so many are running from a word from the Lord, not running to a word from the Lord, but running away. They are closing their ears. They have decided, even in our society, we don't want to hear what God has to say. We don't want to hear the word of God. We don't want truth. We want to make our own Bible unto ourselves. They literally did not want God to lead them in context here. J.F. McCarthy
prophet, he writes to this, Isaiah's listeners tired of hearing counsel that was contrary to the path they desired to follow and wanted him to change his message to accommodate them. Can I read that again? Because I believe this is touching some people's heart right here. Isaiah's listeners are tired of hearing the counsel that was contrary to the path they desired to follow and wanted him to change his message to accommodate them. Now, this is critical. There have been times as a pastor in counseling, I found out that some people don't really want counseling. They've already decided the way they're going to go. They've already decided the choice that they're going to make. And many times I'm called into a counseling session and they, you know what, they've already figured out what I'm going to say. And what they were trying to do, they wanted me to accommodate their choices. They wanted me to help them feel good about their choices. But I tell you, in my life and your life, if our choices are not in the direction that God is pushing us into, then we're wrong. We're going the wrong way. And so often we just decide that we don't want to hear anybody that's going to stand with God's word. We don't want to hear anybody that's going to push us off of the path that we want to walk in. But please understand, God speaks affirmably through Jesus in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness. Can you just type darkness in the chat? If you're sitting around, just say darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I'm going to read that again because I really want you to get this. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you see it? Yes, it is in our season. It is in our generation. This is where we're living, where more and more are refusing the light and they want to be in darkness. This is where our world is continually going deeper and deeper into this darkness. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, I'm telling you, these are some powerful scriptures that really give us insight of people not wanting to hear God's voice and walk in it. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. God, his desire is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But notice 2 Thessalonians 2:11, when we don't hear his voice and walk in it, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Yes, there's a choice to be made. If we don't have pleasure in righteousness, walking towards God, hearing his voice and walking in it, there's going to be a choice. The scriptures say, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And so is the same as we compare to our lives. We have to make a choice. Which way will we go? Will we hear God's voice and walk in it, or will we hear our own voices and decide to go down our own path? Look at Isaiah 30:12. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Isaiah 30:14, and he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces, he shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. I'll tell you, those are heavy scriptures. Here's the point. There is only one true God. Yes, there is only one true God. I don't care how much you try to exalt yourself here, Judah specifically, they're lifting up Egypt as their God. Yes. Remember, we know the history of Israel. They were actually brought out of Israel, crossed the Red Sea through the wilderness experience. But over this historical time frame, Isaiah has the prophesied, y'all are repeating the past. Y'all going back to the same folks that oppressed you. They are no gods. They cannot not deliver you. But so often we have decided in our mind what is right. Judah had chosen to make this alliance in spite of what God had told them. But God lets them know that Egypt is going to falter. Yeah, that's what it's saying in here. They will break as a piece of pottery. They're going to collapse as a deteriorated wall. God is warning them, if you go and you make this alliance, they look strong now, but they're not as strong as you think you are. Are there any widows in the house that have decided and you've gone with something that you thought was strong? You took out that loan, or you went and you bought this or you bought that, and you thought that was going to deliver you, but you found out that which made you happy for a brief moment actually turned out to be a curse to you. There ought to be some hallelujahs. Say, God, that's me. So many times we make decisions that we think is right, but please understand, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. I'm talking about hear his voice and walk in it. Look at Isaiah 30:15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence you shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on the top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Here's a point, sad point, because we find ourselves often in this place, and I see it in our society, fighting the Lord. Yes, fighting the Lord. Notice, God is giving Judah the prescription for success. He's actually laid out some points for success. Let me show you in this Isaiah 30:15, look at about that midway. He said, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Can you just type in the chat, rest, R-E-S-T, rest. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. God, in essence, is telling you, just come to me. Come to me and just rest. I got this. I remember the history that I was a God that fought for you. I'm still fighting for you, but you just got to come to me. I got your back. I got your front. I've got your side. But notice that second part, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. God gives them. He says, all you got to do is come to me and rest. And he says, in quietness, just come to me. I got you. And confidence, that's where your strength is coming from. If you just have faith in me, I'm telling you, this is a word to some of you. You're fighting with God and you cannot win. God is saying, won't you just run to me? I want to hold you and hug you. I want to love on you. But so often we fight against the voice of the Lord. God continues to tell them over and over, just hear my voice and walk in it. Jesus speaks this in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There it is again. Just put in the chat, rest. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find. There it is again. Can you type it again? Can you, as you're sitting in living rooms or wherever, y'all say, rest for your souls. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm talking about hear his voice and walk in it. How often do we choose the hard way? Somebody just put hard way. One of my quick types out there, just put hard way. How often do we choose the hard way instead of coming to God and just rest and have confidence in him and quietness and get strength? That's why God tells us to pray. That's the learning process, that we renew our mind. We learn through quietness. We learn through having confidence in God. We learn through this whole process of resting in him. It's the same picture. And I talked to Tabitha. I'm going to use her as an example. I said, can I use this example? I want to make sure that you're not embarrassed or anything like that. So I got permission to say this. But I remember when Tabitha, our first child, she was young, and She's about 2-3 years old. She would get really tired, really sleepy. But instead of Tabitha just laying down and getting some rest and being quiet, guess what? She would get more excited and she would do more things and she would run. She'd run. And it was obviously, I mean, she was going through issues. She was struggling with the tiredness that had overcome her. But instead of just, you know what, resting, instead of just laying down, I'm telling you, she just fought it. And some of us are the same way with our spirituality. We're just fighting against God. God is like, come on, take nap. Nap time is good. And when we were young, we didn't see that nap time was good. But there ought to be some older folks say, you know what, nap time is real good. I can tell you something about her now. Whenever she can get a nap, she laying down simply because she understands, and we should understand with God, there's something about rest and quietness and being in his presence. Saints of God, this is where Judah was. They were refusing to take a nap time. They were refusing to lay in God's bosom and say, God, you just do it. You fight my battles. But yet they were trying to figure it out for themselves. And God said, you're going to get on horses and you're going to be swift horses. But please, your enemy is going to be even swifter. They're going to come after you and overcome you. But saints of God, please understand, God loves us so much. He wants us to hear his voice and walk in it. Look at Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Look at Isaiah 30:19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you. There's that word again. At the sound of your cry, when he hears it, he will answer you. Can you just say, he will answer me? You can put it in the chat. He will answer me. I'm telling you, God wants to answer us. He wants us to hear his voice and walk in it. Here's the point. The Lord is waiting for you. Yes, the Lord is waiting for you. Now, this is so, it should be comforting to you to realize that we have messed up. The wages of sin is death. We have made bad decisions and we have walked down the wrong path. But if you're listening to me right now, I want you to know God is waiting for you. God wants to do good towards you. He wants to show you love. Let me show you in Isaiah 30:18 again. Therefore, the Lord will wait. Can you just type wait, the W-A-I-T? The Lord will wait. And I believe that's why he hadn't come back yet. In this time of the spirit of Antichrist rising up, and many of us are sensing a change in society to the worst, and we're like, when are you going to come back, Jesus? But he's waiting and he's long-suffering. Look at that second part, that he may be gracious to you. All you ought to put in the chat, gracious, and wherever you're sitting or standing, say, he is so gracious. He waits in spite of us. He waits in spite of our choices, in spite of our issues. And he says, I'm a God of graciousness. I'm a God that's just waiting to bless you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. Can you just type mercy? Can you say mercy wherever you are? Aren't you glad for God's mercy and his kindness? Some of you need to be shouting right now. If it had not been for God's grace, if it had not been for God's mercy, we wouldn't be here right now. I'm talking about hear his voice and walk in it. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. He says, I'm waiting for you. I want you to come to me and just wait in my bosom. I want you to come to me and just rest and receive my graciousness. The Apostle Peter, he writes this in 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Look at this. As some count slackness, but is long suffering. Can you just scream out long suffering toward us? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hear his voice and walk in it. The Lord wanted to bless Judah. He wanted to bless Israel. He wants to bless us, but they kept choosing punishment. They kept choosing death. How counterintuitive is that when God is saying, over here is blessings. Yeah, if you just walk in this way, man, there's blessings, there's rest, there's quietness. Man, you're going to be restored. You're going to be renewed. Your mind's going to renew. You're going to learn of me. Just choose this way. But yet, we choose the wrong way of death and destruction and anxiousness and depression and all of these things simply because we refuse to renew our mind and grow in the Lord. We refuse to hear His voice and walk in it. This is Judah, but God is so gracious and kind, and He wants us to hear His voice. Look at Isaiah 30:19, that second part. He said, "You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry." God, He said, all you got to do is cry out to me. No matter where you find yourself at, God says, I'll be right here. All you got to do is just reach up. It's the picture of a little child. And when they need something, they reach up to their mom or their dad. That same process. God said, just reach up. But so many of us are refusing. And we grab ourselves like we're going to be a God unto ourselves. And we're going to make our own choices. And that we're the God of our destiny. But please understand, there's only one true God. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He wants us to choose Him. He wants us to hear His voice and walk in it. Even though we have gone astray, hear me, God is still there. You say, Pastor, I need an example from scriptures with that. Well, you remember Luke chapter 15? Yeah, Luke chapter 15, a very powerful, it's talked about a lot. It was this dad, and he had two sons. One of the sons decided, you know what? I want my inheritance early. I want my inheritance early, Dad. I'm just going to go make my own way. Dad did it. He gave him his inheritance, and that son went off. He went off, and he was living the life, the high life. He had all the money and going to all the different places, but his money got funny. Yeah, he started running low, and all of a sudden, he found himself, those friends that started out with him, they were leaving him. They were leaving him, and the people that were hanging out with him, the ladies and the life, he was losing that because he didn't have money until he found himself. He found himself so much, he's at the point of begging for food. It says for a Jew that he looked at the pigs and the food that they had, and he was like, you know what? I'm getting ready to eat this. But he came to himself. He said, you know what? But I got a father. And my dad has servants that he feeds and takes care of. He said, I'm not gonna go back to him and ask to be a son again. But if I could just work on your staff, if I could just kind of work in the guard, that's all I want. And so he makes his way back home. Everything is messed up in his life. He's broke. He's busted. He's disgusted. He's hungry. And he's coming down the driveway, and his daddy is sitting on the porch, and he looks out at him. And you know what? The daddy gets up and runs to his son, and he said, my son who was dead is now alive. He was gracious, and he said, come on in. I'm gonna get the fatted calf for you. And he begins to celebrate. He puts a ring on his finger, and he says, my son who was gone now is back with me. That's the kind of God that we serve. There ought to be some shouts of praise when we just hear His voice and walk in it. God wants to continually bless us. Oh, there's some folks that's got some testimony. Say, that was me, Pastor. I understand what you're saying. I had gone off. I had listened to my own voice. I had listened to the voice of other people. I had gone down the wrong path. But I turned and I said, I got a God. I got a Father in heaven who loves me so much. And I can just get back to Him. I'm not asking for much. But when you came back, aren't you glad He did exceedingly abundantly above what you could dare ask a thing? Aren't you glad He was able to redeem the time? Aren't you glad He opened some doors that had been shut in your faith? There ought to be some shouts of prayer. I'm talking about hear His voice and walk in it. Look at this, Isaiah 30:20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Here's the point. Please get this. The Lord wants to guide you. Yes. The Lord wants to guide you. He wants to guide us in his way. Someone wrote this, and this is really a summary, the plight of Judah, the Israelites, in going down their own path. He said, God waits until the disaster of our choice has taught us the foolishness of that choice. Whoo, isn't that heavy? I want to read that again. God waits until the disaster of our choice has taught us the foolishness of that choice. I believe we need to, I want you to hear it again. I'm going to read it a third time because I want to get somebody saying, oh Lord, that's speaking to me. God waits until the disaster of our choice has taught us the foolishness of that choice. How many of us have lost so much time because we refuse to hear the voice of the Lord and walk in it, and we chose the disaster of our choice? How did that work out for you? But I want you to know, we serve a God that can even work in our dumb situations. Yeah, he can even work in our dumb choices and our stupidity and our ignorance. We serve an almighty God, again, that loves us so much. The CEV version actually brings a little bit more clarity to these verses. And it really brings it home to us. Notice Isaiah 30:20 out of the CEV. The Lord has given you trouble and sorrow as your food and drink. But now you will again see the Lord your teacher, and he will guide you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice saying, this is the road. Now follow it. God wants us to hear his voice and walk in it. You may say, can you give me an example of his voice? That's a great question. You may say, how does God's voice, how is it interpreted? How can we make sure that his voice? Well, in the Old Testament, there's another example of this voice. You remember Elijah? Yeah. Elijah, a man, was used amazing. Wonderful prophet at Mount Carmel, and he was able to, the prophets of Baal, he was able to take them down. But there was a problem. There was a queen called Jezebel, and these prophets were connected with Jezebel that Elijah was able to overtake by the power of God. And what Elijah didn't realize, how much fear can overtake you. And so Jezebel basically told him, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I put a hit out on your life, Elijah. And Elijah begins to, he goes running away from Jezebel. He forgets the power of God. And so often he forgets the voice of the Lord. So often we forget the voice of the Lord in time of destruction, in time of issues in our life, in times of pressure from the enemy. But let me show you something. He's out in the wilderness. He's run. And God has an encounter with him in 1 Kings 19:11, hear his voice and walk in him. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Here it is. And after the fire, a still small voice. Man. Oh, God wants us to hear that still small voice. Does it make sense now why Judah needed to have rest and quietness? See, in our lives, please hear me, when we're caught up in this world and so much is going on, we've got stuff that's in our ears, we've got stuff that's coming in our eye gate, we've got stuff that we're holding in our hand, and we're just making it from day to day, it's hard to hear that still small voice and walk in it. Oh, the enemy is yelling at us. Are there any amens out there? The enemy is trying to get into our minds. Oh, he has commercials here, commercials there. Social media trends. He's on Instagram. He's on TikTok. He's on Facebook. He's sending you emails. The enemy is going and pushing out his mandates. But please understand, God is saying, quiet down. Come to me. Run to me and hear my still small voice. None of that which the enemy is doing is taking God off of his job. And God is saying, I want to use you. Just hear my voice and walk in. And let me get this final verse. Very powerful here. Isaiah 30:22. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Here's a final point, and I think a very powerful one here. Hear this. Identify what is hindering you from hearing. Yes. Identify what is hindering you from hearing the voice of the Lord. There is something in all of our lives that's hindering us from hearing the voice of God and walking in it. Here is the example of scripture, and really going through this text of scripture, I wanted to just jump over this. I wanted to just kind of end the message, but this is the powerful point. See, Judah had taken idols from other nations, and they had built their own idols in replace of God, which was hindering their ability to hear the voice clearly and walk in it. Yeah, they had decided that we're going to build our own gods. We're going to grab other gods from other nations, and we're going to celebrate them instead of the one true and living God. Am I speaking to someone? Do we see that in our society, that we're building our own idols and our own gods, and we're thinking that these are going to bring us comfort? We're thinking that these are going to solve our problems, but instead of solving our problems, they add to our problems. They put more issues in our life. God had already spoken to Israel in the Ten Commandments. Remember Exodus 23, "You shall have no other gods before me." Can you put in the chat, "no other gods"? I'm telling you, if you're sitting and standing and say no other God, God does not want us to have any other gods before him. Exodus 20:4, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God," here it is, "am a jealous God." Oh, he loves us so much, and he cares for us. He's a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Look at this. "But showing mercy," there it is again, "to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." How many things have we allowed to come into our lives that have hindered us from hearing the voice of the Lord? It has hindered us from walking in the paths of God. We gotta identify these items. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you not just to hear this word, but I want you to take this word, because we want to renew our mind. We want to learn of God. We want to take it step by step. And I believe God will speak something. Ask him, "God, what do I need to clean up in my house? What do I need to clean up in my life?" I'm telling you, there are idols in all of our lives that we need to get rid of. We need to push out. We must repent and change. Isn't that the word for the year that we've been in Ebenezer? We need to repent and change. Not just repent, but we got to make a change in our life. That is why we must grasp what Jesus did for mankind. Yes, that really comes to the pinnacle of hearing his voice and walking in. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He walked among men. He was doing the will of the Father, hearing the voice of the Father. He said, "That which you see me do, I've already heard it from the Father." Jesus spoke of hearing the voice and walking in. And here it is in John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." There ought to be some say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." I am so glad for a God that just didn't stop with that teaching, but a God that fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, a God that walked on water, a God that healed the sick, even raised the dead. But he takes himself to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he cries out three times and says, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." I'm so glad for Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, allowing himself to be betrayed, going down that road where he is beaten and spit on, and people have talked about him, but he makes his way to Calvary, where he takes the nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and on the cross of Calvary, he works our deliverance out. He carries our sins and our griefs. He takes all those times that we didn't hear from God and walk in it the way we should have. We chose our own path. On the cross, surely he bore our griefs and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But on that cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with his stripes, we are healed. Please just cry out, "We are healed." You can put in chat, "We are healed." He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. But let me tell you the end of the story. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, and now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us that we may hear his voice and walk in it. Yes, he's even given us the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That's our teacher, our guide. Saints, what will be your choice in this season and time? We must renew our minds. We must learn of God. We must walk in his way. His will. That's the only way we're going to be effective. That's the only way we're going to make an impact. That's the only way that people in our families are going to be touched and changed. People on our jobs, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to see people that hear his voice and walk in it. What will be your choice today? Maybe you're listening, you're viewing in, and you're saying, Pastor, I'm not saved. I hear the devil's voice real good. But today I heard that still small voice. I want to make a choice. Well, let me give you the prescription. We said that earlier. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, you will be saved. That Romans chapter 10, very powerful. Ephesians 2:8, it says, by faith, by grace, through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a calling for you. The fact that you're still alive, the fact that you're listening today, God has something special for you. Remember within the scripture, as God cried out through Isaiah to Judah, the Israelites, he said, you know, I want to bless you. Come to me and rest. That's what salvation is. I want my grace to be bestowed upon you. Just hear my voice and walk in it. Saints, as we continue through these series, I want you to examine your life. I want you to read the Bible like you've never read before. I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. I want you to worship like you never worshiped before. I want you to praise him like you never praised him before, because I really believe God is up to something beautiful and wonderful in this season. Oh, he wants to use us, his hands, as his feet, as his mouthpiece. He wants to use us. But we've got to identify what's hindering us. We've got to decide that there's only one true God. We've got to come to the point and say, God, speak, and your servant hears. Yes, speak, and your servant hears. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this word, Lord. Hear your voice and walk in it. Lord, we've made so many mistakes, and right now we're asking for your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to get rid of those idols within our lives. Take them down one by one. Reveal to our hearts. Help us to hear your voice and walk in what you're telling us to do. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for giving us another opportunity to be used of you. Thank you for being that gracious God that loves us, that Father that says, come on back home, that's waiting to bless us. Lord, thank you for Jesus, your Son that's paid the price for us, and your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. Help us to walk in it. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Lord, help me to be all I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. And Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked the streets among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. People are pushing and shoving. They're crowding my mind. But Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time.